Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the treasure. We're going to look particularly at this parable today. So here it is from verse 44. It's amazing. It's a story that Jesus taught, and it's in one verse of the Bible. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, went and sold all he had and bought the field. And what I want to do with you today, the reading covers a whole number of different parables. And the thought was, well, I could tell you about all the different parables and put them together and give you a big map of how Jesus worked and what he was meaning in each particular one and how this relates to that one. And I thought, actually, the simplest thing to do, let's dig in, if you'll forgive the pun, having watched the video. You get it? Okay, Claire gets it. We're going to dig in just to this parable and see what the Lord has to say to us. And some of the other parables have a very similar meaning. The one directly after it about the pearl of great price, making exactly the same point. But I want to draw out five different things from this parable that we can take into our daily lives and consider how we live for Jesus. And the first is this: others see mud, but you see treasure. See, I don't know if you've had the kinds of conversations that I've had with some people who don't see the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of his love, as something that makes sense. Have you ever had anybody say this kind of thing to you? Only stupid people believe in God. Why in the world would you go to church when science has disproved the existence of God? Ever had that one? Jesus wasn't a real person. He's like the tooth fairy or Santa Claus. Ever had that one? What about this one? Religion is bad for everybody. Religion has caused more wars and more death than anything else in human history. You see, others see, and sometimes others throw mud at us. Because where we see treasure, they see dirt. They haven't found the treasure that is the love of God in Christ Jesus. But the truth is this: there are great answers to questions like that. Ways to defend our faith. For example, science hasn't disproved the existence of God. Partly because it's not a scientific thing. It's a philosophical and supernatural reality. And many of the top scientists, even in our day, follow Jesus because they recognize that within what it is that they're studying, they find extraordinary depths, which can only be explained by the genius that is a creator God. Well, what about the fact that Jesus is just like the tooth fairy or Santa Claus? Well, the reality is this. There's more historical documentary evidence for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus than the fact that Julius Caesar ever came to Britain. And yet, people believe that based on one document that was written hundreds of years after his death, as opposed to a number of documents written a few years after Jesus' resurrection. What about that religion causes war and death, and more people have died under religion and because of religion than anything else? Well, the 20th century completely disproves that. Because in the 20th century, we find that more people were killed in war from those who were running regimes that were godless. The fascist and the communist regimes have killed more people in war than all other wars in history put together. You could even argue religion actually causes us to be more humane to one another in war. You see, other people see mud and we see treasure. And the parable of the sower that I talked about a few weeks ago, Jesus talked about the good soil. You remember the parable of the sower? We have four different soils that Jesus said people will respond to me in different kinds of ways. But the good soil, he says in Luke, are defined by those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. So a noble and good heart that's seeking to find something good in the ground, going back to our parable today, who hear the word, they're willing to do the digging, they retain it, they keep it, and they persevere. You see, being a Christian is not always that easy, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But not all will see the treasure when you talk about Jesus. Some will just see an empty field, but the Spirit of God has opened our eyes to see the treasure. And as we share with our friends about Jesus, and as we get ready for the mission that we're doing in September, as we're getting out into different parts of the city, we pray, Lord, would you allow those that we talk to see not just dirt, but the treasure. So others see mud, you see treasure. The second point to say then is getting the treasure takes work. You remember the guy in the film, the guy in the video, he dug it out to discover whether it was treasure or not. When he found that it was treasure, what did he do? He hid it again so that he could go and buy the field. You see, digging in to find our faith is something that Jesus encourages us to do. I love the Alpha Course because it allows people over a number of weeks to have continuing conversation, exploring or digging into the truth about Jesus. And studies show, I don't know which studies, but I have heard it said that, and I trust the people who tell me, so I'm going to tell you, that it's likely to take, on average, a person 7 interactions with a Christian telling them about Jesus before they make a decision to follow Jesus themselves. 7 times. And do you remember a few weeks ago I was saying there's a simple maths equation that the more we tell people about Jesus, the more people are likely to follow Jesus. If we're not telling anyone about Jesus, nobody's going to know about Jesus. That's how it works. It's simple. And so as we speak about Jesus, we can be encouraged that saying it once might not have the breakthrough that we hoped for. But allowing people to have a conversation with us about Jesus, to dig into the soil, to find out whether this really is treasure. You see, because when you're digging up treasure, not that I've ever been lucky enough to find treasure in a field, but let's imagine that I was, right? You're digging it up and you don't know that it is treasure yet. You have to persevere and push through because you hit something solid. It might be a rock, but then it looks a little bit shiny. You think, oh, it might be exciting. And then you dig a little bit further and then you've got to keep digging a bit around and it might just be an old tin. And you think, well, is it actually worth it? And you could give up before you find out what's actually inside the treasure. But if we don't give up and we help our friends understand what is inside this treasure chest, it means that we keep digging and keep doing the work until we open it up. And as that guy on the video, his eyes going super wide. Wow, look at what's inside. You see, the good news of Jesus can look to others like it traps us. But the truth is, it set us free. We're the ones who are forgiven and loved by Father God. We have good news to share with other people as the Holy Spirit touches us. And so as we open the treasure ourselves, this leads to my next point. Discovering the treasure overwhelms everything. You see, when you meet Jesus, it changes everything. And the price is huge for this guy. He goes away and sells everything so that he can buy the field. Because of the treasure that he has found, he is willing to give up everything that he has because what he has found is worth so much more. You see, in life, the prize determines the price that we're willing to pay. Do you know what I mean? The National Lottery is not a good example of this because we put in £1 if you play it, or it's £2 nowadays, isn't it? You put in £2 and you might win unimaginable wealth. But life's not normally like that. When we see the prize of, I'm going to win that contract at work, that means I'm going to put the hard work in. When it means I really fancy her, I'm going to put the work in to build a relationship with her and see if I can win her heart. It's worth putting the work in. The prize determines the price. This guy sells everything. That means, just think about what it means that he lets go of. He lets go of all the things that once defined him. Where he lives, the car he drives, all of that gone. Not that people drove in Jesus' day, but you know what I mean. Contextualizing it. The things that made him comfortable, his sofa and his TV and his Xbox, they had all of those things in Jesus' time, I promise you. All of that stuff gone. Doesn't matter anymore. The things that connected him to his past, all the memories and the things that he bought on holidays and brought back to remind him, all gone. All of those things he was willing to give up because of the treasure that he had discovered. You see, discovering the treasure gave the guy in the story completely new priorities. Discovering Jesus gives us completely new priorities. When we meet Jesus, it realigns everything in our lives. Hi, guys, come on in. Things that used to be important when we start following Jesus suddenly aren't quite as important as they used to be. Because Jesus touches us and Jesus changes our priorities. Jesus re-engages with us and demonstrates his love for which we are willing to pay a price. Kids, if you want to come, there's some worksheets over here that you can come and colour in and do some stuff on. If you want to come and do that, you're really welcome. Good morning. It's lovely to have you with us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, "For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame." You see, Jesus saw that he would be able to have a relationship with you and with me. And that meant it was worth it to Jesus to be nailed to a cross and have a crown of thorns crammed on his head and be beaten to an inch of his life so that you and I could have a relationship with God. And so, the joy that's set before us is that eternal relationship with God that is with us whether we are alive on this earth or beyond the grave. And just a quick question. Why did this guy sell all that he had so that he could find the treasure in the field? I'm not entirely sure why there's a cow on top of the little cart as it's driving away, but there it is. He sold all that he had, got rid of it all. Jesus said it was in his joy that he sold all that he had. And my prayer for us as we gather in church, whether there's 25 of us on a Sunday morning because it's the middle of summer and loads of people are away, or whether it's Christmas Eve and there's hundreds of people packed in here because it's Christmas and we're loving being around, the church is full of joy. It's meant to be the most joyous place on earth. When those of us who know the love of God and are filled with his Spirit gather together and go, yes, Jesus loves us. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of the difficulties, remember the treasure that we found. So I pray that we are defined as a joy-filled church, that people know us because of our joy. And because of the joy, we would allow Jesus to reset the priorities in our lives and be glad to surrender our lives to him. So this guy who found the treasure then, the parable, the story that Jesus told, where others see mud, you see treasure because the Holy Spirit allows you to see the good news of Jesus. Getting the treasure takes hard work sometimes. It means us pressing in and learning and practicing and growing that muscle of faith, of trust. Discovering the treasure overwhelms everything. And then my fourth thought about this parable, which isn't in the parable, but go with me for a moment, is that others may not understand. You see, this guy sold everything that he had. Can you imagine what his wife would have said when he got back home? "I found some treasure in a field and I'm going to sell everything so that we can buy the field that the treasure's in." What? No, we're not. Yeah, we are. We're really going to do it. What would his friends say? Mate, what are you doing? You're mental. Stop it. Let me help you. You don't want to do that. The guy who sold all the stuff so that he could buy the field which had the treasure in looked like a total nutter to everybody who didn't know that treasure was in that field. You could argue that he's gone a little bit crazy, but actually, he's not gone crazy at all, if you understand what's going on in the story, because his actions actually make perfect sense. You see, when we start to follow Jesus and our priorities change, it can look like we've gone a little bit crazy to other people. Do you remember the story in Acts where Paul had gone and told a particular town, I think it was Ephesus, about the good news of Jesus? And there were a whole bunch of people who were magicians and sorcerers and made money out of magic. And because of what the Holy Spirit had done in their lives, they brought their magic books that were worth a lot of money and burned them all. That looks crazy. You're burning your income. What in the world are you doing? Can you imagine what the conversations were like when they've got home? Hey, babe, I've just heard about Jesus. He's completely changed my life because now I'm full of the Spirit and I'm full of joy and I love the Lord and I love you too. You're looking hot today. And by the way, I'm just going to go and burn all our magic books. What? That's how we make an income. Yeah, but Jesus doesn't like that stuff, so we're going to have to work out a new way of living. What? Jesus changes our priorities, and it can look like it's a little crazy to other people who don't get it, those who see mud, not treasure. But Jesus realigns our priorities and gives us confidence because of that touch of his love in our lives, that he changes us and we see what he values rather than what the world values. And so we pursue our relationship with him. And so finally, my final point is that we win more than we lose. We win way more than we lose. You've got an Xbox. I've got eternal life with God in heaven and freedom and forgiveness right here, right now. What would you rather? Would you rather have more stuff? Or would you rather have a relationship with God that transforms everything? You see, sometimes it's costly following Jesus. A few weeks ago, Lizzie was preaching about the cost of following Jesus, of others misunderstanding you or others throwing mud at you or others saying things about you that are unkind because they don't quite get what it is that you're doing as you seek to follow Jesus. It means standing up for something that others are happy to ignore. It might mean when you notice a homeless person and the Holy Spirit gives you a bit of a nudge that you do something about it. It might mean that when you come across somebody who's from a different culture and perhaps doesn't speak our language, isn't new here, that we don't just presume things upon them, but we allow compassion to do its work in us. And we think, crumbs, what must it have been like in the country where you live that caused you to want to run away and give up everything so that you could just live in Britain? Trying to see things from different perspectives. And unfortunately for us, it does mean forgiving our enemies and praying blessing on those who we don't particularly like. It's hard following Jesus sometimes. It means being different. It means not following along, that's a new word, following along with the crowd. But we live instead in the blessing and the presence of God as we seek to follow him. Because the treasure is that we get to be called the children of God. We get to be the heirs, the inheritors of all that God has, which is everything that we see around us. He made it. It all belongs to him. And he invites us into a relationship with him that we might know freedom and forgiveness and healing and hope and joy and peace and eternal life that starts even in this very moment. Jesus called it life in all its fullness. And so I don't know which one of these five hit you today as you were listening through it. that others see mud and that you see treasure. Maybe you just need to be reminded that the good news is that Jesus loves you, that Jesus came to die for you, that you can be forgiven and set free today, regardless of what the past is like, that you are loved. And that's the treasure in the field. Maybe you need to do some hard work because getting the treasure does some hard work. And you need to do some reading to help you with some of the questions that you've got, or having conversation with other wise Christians that you know to say, all right, help me with this bit. I don't understand this bit. Help me work it out. Maybe it's that you just need to be overwhelmed afresh by the love and the presence and the power of God so that He overwhelms everything in His goodness, and you're filled afresh with joy. Maybe you just need to stand strong, and you're in a situation where others don't particularly understand what it is that you say when you talk about faith and the love of God. And maybe you just need the strength of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe today is the first time that you say, Jesus, I want to win what it is that you've won for me. I've not followed you. I've not been your follower. But I see the treasure and I want it to be mine. And because of your goodness and your grace, it can be mine today.